Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word which you gave us this morning. Believing, Father, that we've heard from thee and the atmosphere in the church was so wonderful, Lord. There's a real soul-seeking. Father, we just pray that as we partake of the foot-washing, Lord, which through your Son, he said that he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. Let this mind that was in Christ be in us. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to lay aside all thoughts, Father, and everything that would be contrary to thy word. And help us focus upon thee tonight, Lord. As Brother Branham said, the communion time is a time where we should come together to take inventory of ourselves and to see whether we be in the faith. And so, Father, I just pray that we know that the world is coming to an end. We see it all around us. We see it in the financial systems and politics. We see it in the church. We see it, Lord, in the economy. We see it in nature, and we see it in the outer nature, Father, the things in the universe, Lord. And so we realize, Father, that as man is bent on his own destruction, Father, and your prophet said that you cannot destroy man till he's in the position or he's placed himself in the spirit of destruction. And so, Lord, we're asking that you would help us, Lord, to be in the spirit of rapture, because that's what we want. And we desire, Father, to partake of the upcoming meetings that would be called the meetings during the resurrection, when Brother Branham would have his tent and all the saints from the ages past would be here. Because, as your prophet said, they need this revelation to receive that body change. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to that time. We commit ourselves now, tonight, Lord. We just ask you to help us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we read several beautiful, beautiful paragraphs of Brother Branham's from the Spoken Word's original seed. It is where Brother Branham tells us how the Holy Spirit commanded him to take up his pen and write what the Holy Spirit was about to tell him. And we focused on mostly on what he said in paragraph 175. Where he said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. So will the bride, and he shows her his word of life, he shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah here, and here is a secret. The word is in the bride, and the mind, and she has the mind of Christ, to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. And she has, thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it's grown and serves his purpose, and they do only his will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Number 7, then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not yet the time. Now, we focused on number 1 and 2, where I kind of broke this down into 7 points here, where Brother Branham said, now here is a secret. He said the word is in the bride, and we showed from John 17, and quite a few scriptures where actually Jesus said that, you know, the Father, I've given them thy word. The word you gave me, I gave to them, that they might be one, even as, or in the same way as you and I are one. And then we showed how that was possible. And then number 2, he says, and she has the mind of Christ. And we showed how it's necessary to have the Spirit of Christ in order to have the mind of Christ. And so you cannot understand the things of God if you don't have the Spirit of God. You know, he said, what man understands the things of man except the spirit of man is in him? And he said, no man can understand the things of God except the spirit of God is in him. And so we find then that, of course, we have the fact here remains that, you know, the natural man received not the things of God. It's foolishness to him. But he that has the Spirit of God is drawn to it. Like Brother Brown said, if you have the Holy Spirit, how can you deny any part of the Word? Because the same Holy Spirit you've got, you claim to have, is the one who wrote the Word. How can you deny what he wrote? You see? All right. So we focus on the first two thoughts concerning his Word. Here's a secret, he said, then he said, the Word is in the bride, and she has the mind of Christ. Then we went on, went to other scriptures to bring out just how she was the Word, and how we become one with God, even as Jesus and God were one. And then we showed that in order to have the mind of God, you must have the Spirit of God. Then we picked up where Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So how can you discern spiritual things if you don't have the Spirit in you? So far we see then the two things that Brother Rand called the secret of God. He said, number one, the Word is in the bride, and she has the mind of God. Now then, what good would it do if we had the Word of God and we have the mind of Christ if we do not know what to do with that Word that was given to us from the Father, who descended down from heaven with a shout, which Brother Ram said is the message. Remember, Jesus said he gave us the Word that God gave to him, that we might be one, in the same way he and God were one. And remember, God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. All right? Then the Word became manifested, and that manifestation of that Word was in the Son, Jesus Christ. And when the Word of God in this hour becomes manifested, then that Word is in sons, you see, in order to be manifested. So that brings us to point number three. To know what he wants done with the Word. Not to know what we want to do with the Word. He didn't say that the Word is in the bride, and she has a mind of Christ, and she knows what to do with the Word. He didn't say that. He said she knows what he wants done with the Word. You understand the difference? Because you can say, you know, God could give you a great thing and you could say, well, I know what to do with that. You know, like if it was me, if God gave me the body change right now, you know, I'd square away a few fellows that have caused a lot of trouble for the rest of the world. So I'm not ready yet. I apologize, but I need to apologize to myself because I got to get that thinking out of my mind. You see, Jesus didn't do anything until God told him to do. Who was the prophet that laid on his side for 3.5 years and the ravens fed him? Elijah. He laid on his side 3.5 years. What a great thing to do for God, right? Go lay down. Get up when I tell you to. Well, some days I say that's a pretty nice thing to do, but then again, for 3.5 years, I might get okay for about, you know, an extra 8 hours of sleep. Maybe an extra 12 hours sleep. That might even do good. Maybe even a whole day. That would be great. But you know what? After a while, you get kind of irritated at the bed. Doesn't feel so good. How about 3.5 years? 3.5 years laying on your side. You're gonna manifest me for 3.5 years laying on your side, huh? Yeah. She's got the Word. She's got the mind of Christ. And not that she knows what to do with it, because she don't know what to do with it. But she knows what he wants her to do with it. That's the big difference. You see? Now, look, what if Jesus would have said, hey, when he's 30 years old, hey, you know, what's with all this? Lord, why don't you just take me to the cross right now? You know, I know it's coming. For this purpose have I come into the world. Let's get it over with. Wasn't time. 3.5 years he went out there. 3.5 years he manifested his Father. Then God said, okay, now it's crowning time. I'm going to take you home. Then, like Brother Brown said, the greatest victory was in Gethsemane when he just said, okay, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, one of these days, you're going to have your Gethsemane. Hopefully not your Golgotha. Except for your Golgotha, hopefully, is to yourself, not what others do to you. Crucifying yourself. But one of these days, you're going to have your victory. You're going to finally wake up one morning or night and say, Father, not my will. Whatever you want. What's that song, Sister Patty, that we used to sing years ago? Something like, whatever whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I want to do. Remember that song? Anybody remember that song? Whatever it takes to be more like you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Yeah. Well, we sang it, but was it really here? Or were we ready yet? Well, that's what we're getting to. Point number three, she knows what he wants done with his word. Now, to know what he really, not what we want to do, but what he wants for us to do. That's exactly John 5:19, you know. John 5:30. John 5:19, Jesus then answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he's doing, these also does the Son likewise. You know why? Just why? In your mind, ask yourself, why? Because then you know you're doing the right thing. When your Father's doing it, and you're doing it, you can't be doing the wrong thing. God showed him by vision what to do, and he did exactly that. Brother Brown had to wait for the hat to be on the chair to say, thus saith the Lord. Otherwise the vision would not have been complete. You see? Then you know you've got it down. Then you know you've got it perfect. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. Not whom he will. I think we all read that, you know, whom he will. The Son can quicken who he wants to. No, that's not what he says. Who the Father quickeneth, and the Son will quicken who he wills. You see? I like that. Notice what Jesus says about that just a few verses further in John 5:30. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. So you see, he's not trying to please himself. That's it. He's got one person in mind to please. It's not his wife. It's not her husband. It's his Father. If we could get to that place, I think, you know, husbands and wives, kids, you know, siblings, parents and children, I think you'd all get along a lot better if you all in the family didn't focus on pleasing mom or pleasing dad, but pleasing God. Yeah, I think so. I know as the body of Christ we would. And again he said in John 4:34, Jesus said, saith unto them, my meat, my energy, my source of life is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work which he began. In John 14:31 he said, But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let it go hence. John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. How interesting life would be if we were totally, totally focused and motivated by God and not by self. John 12:50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Mark 3:35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Matthew 12:50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Several verses in Scripture. And so she knows what he wants done with his word. Not my will be done. So what he said? He said, thy will be done. So what this tells me is that she must first of all have a passive revelation. But that this passive revelation must lead to an active manifestation of that revelation. Now, does that mean that she can just act upon God's word on her own? No, I don't believe that. Not for just not even for a minute. She waits on him to let her know when to do and where to do. You see, she gets what to do from him, but now she needs to know where and when. Brother Branham received a vision. Could have been in his house. He could have been out at the cave, wherever he got the vision. He said he had to go to a certain brother's house, and he had to go pray for the brother. That's the where, and that's the what. But then when he got there, he waited 12 hours from 8 in the morning till 8 at night for that hat to be on the chair, that brother to be sitting in that chair, that sister to be sitting in that chair. He had to wait. Musical chairs all day long. Can you imagine that? Just waiting. Just looking at, just watching. Okay, is this vision ever going to line up? And when that vision got into focus, there it was. He ran to the bedroom, laid his hands on it, and said, "Thus saith the Lord," before something else changed. Because everything was lined up. And he taught us that's how God deals. So, she knows what he wants done with his word. She does not have my will be done. His will be done. So what this tells me is that she must first of all have that passive revelation. She must understand what it is God wants for her to do. Where it is God wants it done. And then when it is. When it is. That's our problem, when it is. Can you imagine the apostles when Jesus said, "Tarry until you're endued by power from heaven"? Until they got in there 5 minutes on their knees. We got it. Do we? Well, we got to have, because he said, no, he said until. Didn't tell them 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 2 days. 40 days. He didn't tell him. He said, just tarry. Hang around. It's coming. But like little kids, can't wait for Christmas. Got to start seeing what's under the tree. I was the worst when I was a kid. You know, we try to open those packages. Before Mom packed them, around November, we start looking in the closets, looking in the little door above the closet, any hiding place we could find. We try to find those gifts. That's because we're children. But you know, we carry some of that over in our adult life. That's where we get in trouble, is we just don't have patience to wait. But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall have, you know, and they shall mount up with strength like an eagle. You see? From the Message, Shalom, Brother Branham said, now some people says, but Brother Branham, I've tried. But wait a minute. Patience is a virtue. Patience is Holy Spirit virtue. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You say, how can I wait any longer? Just keep on waiting. When you've done all you can do to stand, what do? Stand. Yeah. That's what Paul said. How long am I going to do it? Stand. He said it's the truth, and it's the truth. He said it'll happen. How? I don't know. But it'll happen. He said so. He promised it. If you promise it, it's going to happen. That's all. It can't wait. So now just remember, God took thousands of years to fulfill His promise of the coming Savior. For 4,000 years God took to fulfill that promise. But He knew from the beginning just when it was going to happen. He knew no one else did. He just said it would happen. And when it happened, the people was in such a delusion till they didn't even know how to accept it. If that same thing hasn't repeated again, it always does, never fails, both sides always. We know we're in the end time. We know that Israel has become a nation. We know that a generation shall not pass, but it didn't say how long. We thought, well, certainly back, you know, the early days, you remember, Sister Patty, back in the early days, a generation was 40 years. Then we come to find out that, well, in the Bible, a generation is 70 years. We start trying to fit these things together. Billy Paul won't be an old man. Right? All these things. Listen. God will do it. He promised He will do it. He didn't tell us when. Didn't tell us when. So by learning to wait, you learn to control your character. You learn to subdue the urges. You learn to subdue the emotions. And you learn to just say, okay, Father, be it unto me according to thy word. Many go out impatient, but believing that the time is near, you try to do something within yourself. Wait upon the Lord. Patience is virtue. If you can have patience, it's virtue. It's virtue. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Not they that try to get ahead of the Lord. They that try to tell the Lord, Lord, I know what you want me to do. Glory to God. Don't do that. Wait upon the Lord. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, the hardest thing isn't when the big meetings are going and you're being pulled from here to here to go and play. The hardest thing is when things start slowing down. But Brother Branham said, every time God has a ministry, that there's someone there, he said, what happens is when they begin to reject, that's when God is crowning that ministry. So you just watch. Things will slow down. Brother Branham said they would. They did for him. And he just waited on God. He waited for that third pole. He went to the grave waiting. And he'll come out of the grave with it. From stature of a perfect man, he said, Daniel, the same way. Daniel had patience, sure. He wasn't going to give up. No, sir. What did he do? He opened them windows, prayed anyhow. It was a requirement of God. He had patience. He waited on God, knowing God was able to keep his word. Well, they threw him in the lion's den. They said, we'll let the lions eat you up. He said, that's all right. He had patience. Why? Well, I've waited all this time for God. If I have to wait a few more thousand years, I'll rise up again in the last days. So, got patience. Just wait. Paul had patience, certainly did. Look what Paul had to do. Talk about patience. How about the Pentecostal people? As long as they got the commission, wait until you're endued with power. How long? It ain't no question how long it will be. They just got the answer. Wait until. They went up there and they said, all right, boys, maybe in 15 minutes now the Holy Spirit's going to go on. We're going to have our ministry. 15 minutes passed by, nobody. One day passed, 2 days passed, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Some of them might have said, hey, don't you think we already got it? No. Some of them said, hey, you better come on out, boys, the devil said. You know you already got what you went in for. Go on out and start your ministry. No, we ain't got it yet. Because he said, there will come a what? What would take place in the last days? With stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people? And this is the rest that I said in Isaiah 20:19. This is the rest. You'll get it. You'll get it when? Why? We'll know when it comes. We'll know when it comes. We'll know it. It's promise of the Father. There they waited 9 days. And on the 10th day, now you're there. They had patience to wait. Now, if you've got that kind of patience after God's given you the promise, and you see it in the Bible, it's mine, then wait. Then if you've got that kind of patience, add it to your faith. What about Noah? Huh? 120 years preaching that judgment was coming, that it was going to rain, and everybody laughed at him because, like Brother Brown said, they had instruments to shoot the moon. There hadn't been rain before because the earth was standing straight up. It didn't have the axe, you know, it hadn't tilted yet. 120 years preaching, and then finally goes in the ark. Can you imagine his wife? You know, God, there's a purpose for God putting two people together that kind of rub. Let's get rid of the cockaburrs. Brother Brown said God will put two people with cockaburr nature to rub. And because look, men are from, what is it, Mars, women are from Jupiter, something like that. You know, what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man's in him? So women don't understand men. And men don't understand women. It's just that plain. And the thing is, can you imagine, you know, like how many seen that movie, The Bible? Noah's wife was just complaining the whole time. She said, Noah, I know you say it's going to rain, but could you please fix the roof? It's leaking. It will leak if it rains. Of course, you know, her mind was on those things. His mind was the judgment coming. But once they got in the ark, how many days was it before it rained? Huh? 7 days. Can you imagine sitting in there for 7 days waiting for the first blick, blick, blick? 7 days. Oh, Dad, I can imagine here. How many of you kids in here? Well, Dad, you said it's going to rain. We've been in here 24 hours. Shut up, kid. Go to bed. Dad, it's been 5 minutes. The door's been shut. And where's the rain? Oh, Dad, this time you've just gone too far. 2 days went by. 3 days went by. 4 days went by. 5 days went by. 6 days went by. 7 days. And finally, plink, plink, plink. Then when it began to gush, all those people that mocked, they tried to get in. God shut them out. And don't think they'll try to get in at the last minute. God will shut them out. He'll shut them out. All right. Now, wait until. So we find Brother Brown telling us, here is a secret. The Word is in the bride, and she has the mind of Christ because she has the Spirit of God. And she knows what He wants done with His Word. And that brings us to number four. And she does it in His name. Doesn't do it for herself. Doesn't do it for Himself. He's not in this to build a kingdom. He's not in this to produce some name for Himself. Listen, what good is a name going to do you if we're at the end of history? Right? We're not trying to build up, what do you call it? What's everybody, all these presidents, their legacy? What's a legacy? Come on. What do you need a legacy for when you're not going to be here? There's nobody going to know about it anyway. They should have been spending their time trying to do what they could to get the nation to serve God, fall on their face and worship. That would have saved this nation, but nothing else will. No. Everybody's got to have their legacy. Yeah. Well, she does it in His name. Notice it's in His name, not for her to get a big reputation, but for Him in His name. If I buy a house in your name, it's in your name. So if we do what God tells us to do with His Word, in other words, if we do what God tells us to do, with God's Word that He gave us, then isn't it Him doing it? Not our doing it? That is why Jesus said in John 5:17, but Jesus answered them, my Father works hitherto, and I work. And John 5:19, then answered Jesus, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, the Son doeth likewise. In other words, not the Son doeth in a different way. The Son doeth likewise. If God put His hand up in the vision, Jesus put His hand up in the vision. If God in the vision went over and laid hands on this certain man that laying on a pallet, then Jesus passed 300 people and He laid His hands on that one person with a pallet. You see, Brother Brown said, compassion is doing the will of God. You see? All right. So whatever, it's not in your name, it's done in His name, for it is to be done, if it's to be done at all. And that is why he could add to that, and then he could say, point number five, she has thus saith the Lord, or she keeps still. Not that she has some sort of gimmick, that she can go around saying, like, how many ever spend any time in Pentecost, among Pentecostal people? All right. You ever hear people say, thus saith the Lord this, and then, thus saith the Lord this, and you know, just piping off like a bunch of parrots. How dare anyone say, thus saith the Lord, unless the Lord said thus? Because if the Lord didn't say thus, and you're saying thus, you're showing that you're a liar. And if it doesn't come to pass, people believe that, if they believe that God said it, that God's a liar. See, God don't trust His Word to just anybody that just, you know, just has no character. He wants to make sure that that person is going to say exactly what he said. You know, if Ron came up to me and said, you know, Brother Brian, I'd like to give everybody a treat, and I've got a couple bottles of A&W root beer out in my car, and, you know, I'd like to just, you know, give everybody a nice glass of, you know, cold A&W after service, and I said, hey, Brother Ron promised everybody in this church a whole bottle of A&W, and he's got two bottles out there. It's like when I was going to go to Uganda, and they kept saying, the first time, and they kept saying, well, you come and we'll have 2,000 people there. And I said, yeah, but if you have 2,000 people there, I won't come. I'm not interested. I said the pastors should be interested in their people. I'm interested in working with the pastors. And they said, well, but you know, it'd be great. We could have 2,000 people there. And oh, by the way, but we'll need $800 to feed them. And I said, listen. I said, if I go and you do bring 2,000 people, I said, we'll just do what Jesus did. We'll find some little boy that has a few fish, and we'll lay our hands upon those fish and pray over them. And if God doesn't multiply, He don't want you to eat. They always use gimmicks to get the money. Send 800, we'll spend 500 on food. We'll pocket 300. No, that's not the way, that's not the character that the bride of Christ has. The bride of Christ doesn't have anything, any motive for herself. She's just completely so in love with her Father that she's willing to do whatever He says do in His name. She has, thus saith the Lord, or she keeps still. And thus saith the Lord means that the Lord has already said thus. If I say, thus saith Brian, it means Brian said thus. If I say, thus saith Ron, it means Ron said thus. And God promised that if one comes along and says those words, thus saith the Lord, and then what he says doesn't happen, he says that is a sign of a false prophet. Deuteronomy 13. So that is why Brother Branham said, she will have thus saith the Lord, or she will keep still. He didn't say she'll have thus saith the Lord, knowing the Lord said thus, and then she keeps still. He said, she either has His word or she doesn't. And if she has His word, she'll give that word or she'll just shut up. She won't say it her own. In other words, if God don't say it first, then the bride won't say it at all. It's just that simple. Isn't that the example that Jesus gave us? In John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Not what I want to say, but what He commanded me to say. John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me commandment what I should say, what I should speak. That ought to be clear enough. And again, John 12:50, whatsoever I speak therefore, even as my Father said unto me, so I speak. And so they wait until God tells them when to do what He wishes for them to do with His word. And that brings us to point number 6. They do only His will. No one can persuade them any different. Notice He said they do only His will. And nobody can persuade them to do anything different from that. And then because she has His mind and understands His word, therefore she will know what to do with His word. And she will wait until He tells her when to do it. Because she has His word, His thus saith the Lord, to do it. So after waiting for Him to give her further instruction to go ahead, she then steps into what He told her to do. And that leads to point number 7. Then they will do the works of God. Now, Brother Brown told us that when God told Moses to speak and go forward, if He had only spoken, nothing would have taken place, and simply speaking would not have parted the waters. But then Moses placed His feet into the water, that's when the sea parted. From Exodus 14, verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, and go forward. And from conference, Brother Branham said, now Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord said, rise up and go forward. And when Moses went right straight and stepped his foot into the water, when that taking place, the Red Sea opened back, and Israel crossed over to a great victory. But look what happened later on. Now, how many believe Moses was a great man of God? I do. I put both hands up on that. How many believe that Moses was in the will of God? I do. How many believe that Moses talked with God, got the instruction from God, and acted out those things that God told him? I do. But look what happened later on. God had given Moses a rod and was told to strike the rock and the water would come out. But one day God said, speak to the rock. But Moses was so caught up in his anger with the children of Israel because he just couldn't understand what was happening. And so in his anger, he struck the rock And because he acted when God said, speak only to the rock. And he acted out his aggression. He got his emotions involved. He was denied entry into the promised land with the children of Israel. In Numbers 20, verse 8, God said, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch your water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, and said, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Wow. You spend your entire 40 years in that wilderness, completely yielded to God, and in one moment's time, you burst forth in anger, and you're denied entrance to the very thing that you brought the people to. From how the angel came to me, Brother Branham said, look at Moses. Moses was a God-sent man. Do you believe that? Predestinated, foreordained, and made a prophet. And God sent him out there, said, go speak to the rock. And after it done, been smitten, said, go speak to the rock, and it'll bring forth its water. But Moses angrily went out there and struck the rock. The water didn't come. He smote it again. Said, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock? See what God did? The water come. But he said, come up here, Moses. You listening, Gabriel? When Daddy says, come up here, Gabriel, what does that mean? It means, uh-oh, I done something. Huh? Yeah. And Moses said, uh-oh, now I'm in for it. That was the end of it. See, you have to watch those things so you what you do with the divine gift. You see, you can't just go where you feel like going. You can't go because you want to go, and you can't go because people want you to go. You only go because God wants you to go. Otherwise, you sit. Lay on your side. My wife would think I was a lunatic if I should come over here and I'm laying on my side. She said, what are you doing? I said, God told me to lay down, honey. There's not going to be any rain for 3.5 years. Oh, get off here. Get up here. I hope she wouldn't. I wonder if Elijah's wife was that way. See, when God's dealing with you, you understand. But when God's dealing with somebody else, you don't understand. Right? Well, from speak to the rock, he said, think of it now. Are you in the desert? Don't you know where to go? Have you been got off the real beaten path? Why not speak to the rock? He will bring forth his waters. That smitten rock was Moses' judgment rod. The judgment rod of God smote the rock and had a cleft in it. And out of that same rock they found honey one day. Oh my. God's judgment smote Jesus Christ, who was the rock of our salvation. There's a cleft in his side. Honey's in the rock, as we would say this morning. They find food. You find shelter in the time of storm. You find healing in your body. You find God bless you, this young girl sitting here. Find whatever you have need of. It's in the rock. If you just believe him now with all your heart, all right, I got your hand up back there again. I'm just waiting to see what the Holy Spirit will say. All right, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Think of it now. Don't you know where to go? Why not speak to the rock? When Brother Branham started his ministry, it was in the hand, wasn't it? Then the discernment came. But what was he waiting for? He was waiting for the spoken word. He's waiting for the third pole, which was a speaking of life. Every single instance of that spoken word, there was life with the little fish, with the squirrels, with Hattie Wright's boys. Life. Hallelujah. I believe there's coming a time soon in the resurrection. As Brother Branham said, when that squeeze gets pretty tight, he said, the bride, here's the thing, the bride has the Word. She has the mind of Christ. She knows what He wants done with the Word, but she's willing to wait until the right time to use that which God has given. Speak to the rock. Not hit it. Not like these Pentecostal preachers that grab you, shake you, and try to shake the devil right out of you. But speak to the rock. When Brother Branham spoke to that little girl, we saw the film, Billy Paul was telling us about it. When that little girl was standing there, she had no eyeballs. She was born that way. Brother Brown looked at that little girl. He didn't shake her. He didn't clobber her in the head like I've seen people get clobbered in these Pentecostal meetings. He looked at the little girl. He said, I see that you need eyes. And he held her to his chest and he said, Dear Father, please, if you would give this little girl eyes. And Billy said, I saw two white lights come down. And all of a sudden I was looking and here was a little girl with eyes but no color. And Brother Brown looked at her and said, Oh, he said, I forgot to ask for color. He said, What's your favorite color? And she said, Blue. He said, Let's ask him again. And he prayed and two blue streaks come down, filled her little eyes, and now she had gorgeous blue eyeballs. Her mother went screaming, I tell you, brother, sister, I told Brother Billy Paul, I said, when we get to the other side and watch everything replayed, that's the one I want to see the most, is to see that created eyeballs in that little girl. Brother Branham didn't shake people like Oral Roberts. He didn't have to bang them like some of these other guys do. You don't drive a devil out that way. You don't yell and scream. I remember an old colored fellow years and years ago. There was a friend of mine, he went to a lot of these Pentecostal churches. He said that he went to this church and the pastor was trying to, they had a healing line going forth and one of the people came up, an old timer in the church, and they came up and they had a bug in their ear. And so the pastor began to pray and nothing happened. So one of the deacons got really, really excited. So he said, Pastor, he said, I just feel led. I want to, would you mind if I pray for this person? He said, Oh, go ahead. So he yelled in the guy's ear. He said, Now you listen here, bug. If you can't back out, he said, if you can't turn around, you just back out. And yelling and screaming like that and shaking the person. That's not the way God does it. When Jesus cast the demons out of Lot, the fellow that had all those demons, he didn't go yelling and shouting and screaming. Speak to the rock. Dear rock of ages, cleft for me. Hide me in thee. We see things coming down on the earth. Hide me in the cleft of the rock. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, because you have given your bride your word. As Jesus said, Father, I've given them thy glory, thy doxa, thy opinion, thy values, thy judgments. They have it, that they might be one even as we are one. And we have the mind that was in Christ. We have your word. We have your mind. And we know what you want done with your word. Now help us to wait upon the Lord. To renew our strength. To mount up with wings as eagles. Help us not to be impatient. But help us rather to speak to the rock. And may it come forth. Even as we heard you speak. May we mimic, may we, as Jesus said, the Father doeth and the Son doeth likewise. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If we'd have the brothers bring forth the elements at this time, and we'll change the order of service to communion.